Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild perpetuity, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
Better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome everyone. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. It is May 8th. 2020, and it started out a pretty decent day here in Northeast Georgia. Too bad it didn't stay that way. Kept teasing us with rain for like the past week, and finally today, when I said, it ain't gonna rain, yeah, what do you know? But that's okay. I did manage to get a little bit done today, which wasn't too bad. Been working on revamping my trailer. I've got a small box trailer that I built little shelves and stuff in, cabinetry and all. It looks basically, if you look inside of it, what it looks like is it looks like a tool a trailer that you would have like a guy, you know, somebody would carry tools and stuff around in, but actually it's like one of the countertops is like a place. Well, it's a countertop, and another countertop is actually the bed, and then there's some cabinetry in the far back there, you know, where stuff can be put, and then it's got some shelving on one side near the back door, and then like a little shelf and on the other side near the back door. But it looks like just basically a utility trailer. Nobody would ever expect that this is the poor man redneck version of a tiny home. But I had to do a little bit of work on it. It had some leaks, so I've been working since spring. We're just now getting out of our rainy season, so it's been kind of like hit and miss here and there as I tried to seal up all the different seams and such as that to stop it from leaking, get it all dried out. Where I could then do a nice paint job on the outside. So I finally got that done, finally got the paint job on it. And so it's had 2 days to sit and cure in the sun, which is really the way, you know, you really want. If you're going to do like a poor man's paint job, you want it to sit in the sun for a couple days and just have the sun just bake that paint job nice and hard. And, so I got it moved out of the middle of my driveway now so I can start loading my stuff in it, which is really nice. But, you know, I got a little bit loaded in there today. I figured that was going to be my project for today, was get the wheels on it and get it moved and, you know, try to get a little bit loaded into it. And I got a little bit loaded in, but it started raining on me about 1:30, 2 o'clock, somewhere around there. So once it started raining, that kind of put an end to that. But that's okay. There's always things inside to do, you know, especially when you live alone and you've been, you know, cooped up all winter. And then all of a sudden you get like a couple of weeks of really nice weather, and then you're outside for like 2 weeks solid and you don't even think about your inside. And then when it rains, you go, you're looking around and you're inside, you're going, yeah, you know, it's time to clean house. And so, you know, I spent the rest of the day cleaning, you know, just kind of not like my house is a mess or anything, but it's a little bit disorganized. So I got to work on that a little bit. Anyway, wanted to share with you before we get started, I've always loved documentaries. And I recently began watching a series on Netflix called America's Book of Secrets. Now, it wasn't long ago that I actually watched a series called on Netflix called The Family. And this particular documentary, The Family, tells about a secretive organization here in the United States known as The Family. It's the only name it's got. It's supposedly a Christian organization that wields real great influence in D.C., and it's told from the perspective of someone who actually once was a member, but apparently for reasons which are known only to them, he left the organization and has recently now, some several years later since he's left, decided to come clean with what he knows and tell the truth about this organization known as The Family. If you've not seen it, I encourage you to check it out. Again, it's called The Family. I found it on Netflix. It may be in other places, but that's where I found it. As for this new one I'm watching now, America's Book of Secrets, I've only seen the first three episodes of season one. But it's quite interesting. And I'm not saying what I believe one way or the other, but I'll leave it to you to decide for yourself what you want to believe. Today I watched episode 2 and 3 of season one. Episode 2 was about the Freemasons. And I'm not going to say one way or the other what I believe, only that I know what I've been told from former members of the Freemasons, what I've been told by my dad, who was a high-ranking member of the Freemasons when he passed away. And he made it not to give away any more than what I probably should give away, other than to say he made it far enough to when he was exposed to the truth, he said, "You have got to be out of your flipping mind. I want nothing to do with that." And he left. But I'm not going to say what I believe one way or the other, other than to say I know what former members have told me. I know what my dad told me when he was on his deathbed. But since I can't prove anything, you know, I don't have any intentions of speaking to anything that I can't prove. I only know what I've been told, and what I've been told isn't pleasant. Episode 3 was about Fort Knox was the primary focus of episode 3. Very interesting, although I don't necessarily agree with everything was in there. But you know, hey, if you have a chance to check it out, I think it's worthy of being, you know, of at least giving some consideration. Whether you agree or disagree, believe or disbelieve, it's kind of pretty much really all up to you, I guess. Anyway, with that, let's move on here. First up, armed black citizens? No. Yesterday in The Guardian, I was reading an article entitled "Armed Black Citizens Escort Michigan Lawmaker to Capitol After Volatile Right-Wing Protests." Well, I'm sure many of you have seen the photo that's been circulating around the internet about this bald-headed guy with a scruffy-looking, you know, sides of his face look like he hadn't been shaved in like 3 or 4 days, but he's got this real thick goatee and, you know, big old burly dude with a black sweatshirt with a red collar and a big old green plat leaf on the shirt, and he's it, you know, you can see him, he's looks like he's yelling, and of course this would be a fella by the name of Brian Cash. And this took place, he's from Hudson, Michigan, and this took place at the Michigan State Capitol. And he wasn't, you know, contrary to what many would like you to believe, he was not yelling at the police officers. He was yelling over their shoulders at the people behind him, behind the police officers. And they were protesting these lockdown orders. And, of course, we had the member of the Michigan State Legislature who said that the protesters were very accommodating to the police. They also, when they wanted to come into the Capitol building, they all submitted to the being tested and all of that, you know, having their temperatures taken and all of that. And they were actually quite pleasant, and nobody got hostile or aggressive. And even after their session was over with, he actually walked out amongst the protesters and talked with them, and, you know, but yet here is this black lawmaker, one Sarah Anthony, 36 years old. She's all scared because of these crazy white people with guns. But she is not one bit afraid of being escorted by black militants with guns. All wearing masks, decked out in riot gear. What a double standard. How pathetically hypocritical possibly be.
Oh, but they're one of them was a black firefighter.
Okay, then why was he all decked out in tactical gear with his face covered up? And yeah, you kind of get the idea, right? Such hypocrites.
Oh, but these were good guys with guns.
Well, how do you know the white guys protesting weren't good guys with guns?
But they're white supremacists.
Okay. Then they're black militants. Play that game. Let's call a spade, no racial slur intended. Frickin' hypocrites make me sick to my stomach. And that's about all the time I'm going to give that. Now, I want to turn our attention to Mayor Bill de Blasio. Got a clip I'm going to play here for you in just a moment or two. I hope. I think. Ooh, maybe I'm not going to. Let me. I thought. Let me. I need to go into my dashboard here so I can go to my audio clips, and I didn't upload it. Well, let's go ahead and upload it now. Apparently, Bill de Blasio, he wants to, he wants to suspend your First Amendment rights. Let's talk a little bit about this while this clip uploads to my dashboard here. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, and this was reported on by Fox News just this past Wednesday, day before yesterday. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio and New York Police Department Commissioner Dermot Shea stated outright this week that, well, people are not allowed to gather for protests in public due to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, the city leaders pointed to the need to maintain social distancing in order to prevent greater spread of COVID-19, stating that this takes precedent over people's rights to exercise their First Amendment right to free speech and assembly. I've actually got another clip here. Let me get this ready. Oh, let me see here. Let me open this up, and we're going to see if we can't cue this up, because this is really interesting. I want to show you here very shortly the hypocrisy of Bill de Blasio as soon as the commercial part ends here. Let me see. Hopefully this has, yes, it has loaded up. So let's go ahead and refresh my studio. So it should show me now. There it is. Right there. That's what I was looking for right there. All right. While I queue up this, okay, it's all queued and ready to go. Just to show you the hypocrisy of all of this, this goes back to, what day was this? This was April 28th, 2020, as New York has been under this so-called stay home unless you actually have reason to actually, essential. You got to get, go to the grocery store or the pharmacy or, something like that. If it's something essential. But if it's non-essential, stay home, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, this is, I don't know who the individual was, but this was a young man in New York caught Mayor de Blasio on the right around the 28th of April with his wife taking a stroll through Brooklyn's Prospect Park. If I can get it to play. Oh yeah, right, seriously? Go figure, just when I'm actually ready to do it, and it wants to play stupid with me. I hate when that happens, because, it's like, so now I got to wait for the commercial to go through again as I, I want you to keep in mind, Bill de Blasio lives basically, he lives in a park. But for some unknown reason, he has to be chauffeured somewhere.
You guys have a park. You live in the middle of a park. You don't need to not essentially travel to Brooklyn. Come on, you wouldn't even open roads for people of all backgrounds. I'm not going to give it a break. Like, this is selfish behavior. This is so terribly selfish. You call yourself a progressive, but you chauffeur yourself to Brooklyn. You force people to drive you.
Just absolutely hypocritical.
This is ridiculous. This is the epitome of non-essential travel.
All right, so we'll stop that right there. Bill de Blasio, what a hypocrite. What a freaking hypocrite. Seriously, you live in a park. You actually live in a park. You don't have to, be chauffeured from Yorkville, which is where you live, to Brooklyn to take a walk in the park. You live in a park. You want to talk about a hypocrite? This is why I have no tolerance or patience whatsoever for any politician. We have during a press briefing. City leaders point out, the need to maintain social distancing in order to prevent greater spread. We're getting back to the whole protest thing. In which she said, quote, "You're talking about some of the values we hold in the highest regard in this country and certainly in this city. The right for people to gather, the right to free speech, and the right to protest." This is Dermot Shea. "But now comes the bad news. We're in a pandemic, and executive orders have been issued. These are laws that have been passed down through executive order to keep people alive. While we greatly, greatly respect the right of the people to protest, there should not be protests taking place in the middle of a pandemic by gathering outside and putting people at risk." First of all, you freaking twit. An executive order is not a law. Laws require an act of the legislature. Now, I could see if the state of New York, the state legislature, had come together in session, drafted a bill, debated on it, voted on it, passed it, and then it were signed by Governor Cuomo, then okay, we might have some level of argument to be made here for the law. But executive orders are not law. Those who actually... There's somebody on YouTube. I'm not a big YouTube freak, fanatic, nut job, put everything I have all in the YouTube basket, okay? I'm not that kind of guy. But there are people on YouTube that, you just can't argue with. And I was introduced today by one of my listeners to someone named Timcast on YouTube, T-I-M-C-A-S-T, Timcast. And he does such a beautiful job explaining this. I'm just going to let him tell you about it.
New York is an awful, awful place. They have gun control, which results in racism. I know people are going to get mad at me for that, but we'll break this down. You have a city that wants to implement this harsh gun control so they target minority communities for a variety of reasons. You have a city that is right now saying no protests allowed in direct violation of the First Amendment. It's literally the first one on the list. Come on. You had one job. Yep, Bill de Blasio says you can't protest. So here you have New York. You've got homelessness, unemployment, escalating rent prices. Certain parts of the city are in total collapse. You've got police consistently accused of racism. You've got harsh gun control measures that don't seem to be working. And that's New York for you. You know what I really don't understand? Like when I tweeted earlier that New York was a racist asshole, and I had a bunch of conservatives be like, that's not true. And I'm like, why are you defending New York City, dude? No, no, this place is run like trash. Bill de Blasio does not know what he's doing. He went out early on and was like, come everybody, celebrate and go outside and party. And then New York, it turns out, is the cause of most of the infections in the entire country. Like people from New York traveling around, spreading it around. So no, I am not going to defend Bill de Blasio. I'm not going to defend Michael Bloomberg or Rudy Giuliani. The city has been awful for a really, really long time. Stop and frisk is a horrible policy that, in my opinion, and for whatever it's worth, violates the Fourth Amendment. Walking up to random young people, pushing them up against the wall, and frisking them? What's the Fourth Amendment for? They say, oh, but it's reasonable. Yes, stop and frisk is about their gun control measure. So stop defending this awful city, its awful policies, the racial disparities in their policing. Michael Bloomberg coming out and saying in a recording, he was like, well, they're the ones committing the crimes, so we have to go to their neighborhoods. It's not racist. Shut up, man. You've got impoverished communities that you don't support. It's about class, first and foremost. That's what I want to break down, right? But when you end up targeting poor people with your gun control measure that results in a disproportionate amount of them going to jails, you realize that results in long-term negative prospects. So put it that way. I'll take it easy. You know what? The point is, if you go to rural areas, you don't see this stuff. You don't see this in more conservative areas. Maybe that's why they want to run these stories about, you know, these two guys in Georgia and this guy, Ahmed Arbery. The reason they want to exaggerate about these claims and lie is because they need to convince the world that it's the conservative areas where all of these horrible racist things happen. Let me tell you what. I've lived in the South, sort of. I lived in Virginia. And I have seen some very awful racism, more than I've seen in a lot of places like New York. But if you want to claim that New York is better, and you literally have the police going to minority areas for gun control reasons, targeting minorities for gun control reasons, creating a disproportionate amount of minorities in jails, y'all got the serious problem, okay? If a person in down South is a bad person with bad ideas, well, you can avoid him. You can insult them. That's America. Sure, it sometimes leads to fights and tensions. We have laws against that. But if the law enforcement themselves are doing this, come on, stop defending New York. You know what, man? I know Donald Trump has defended stop and frisk. He's wrong. And there have been a bunch of conservatives that have defended this, and I'm sorry, man, y'all are wrong. The government doesn't have a right, first of all. This is a violation of the Second and the Fourth Amendments. I have never been a big gun person, but straight up, the goal they had with this kind of policing is gun control. They shouldn't be doing it in the first place, let alone arbitrarily stopping people in violation of their Fourth Amendment. It is unconstitutional, and it disproportionately affects poor people. And in New York, the minority communities tend to be the poor, you know, poor neighborhoods where they get targeted by this. You think that you're going to see the NYPD show up to, like, you know, Upper West Side and go knock on some penthouse door and look for weapons or stop a man in a suit? Never going to happen. Because, well, I do believe race plays an issue in a lot of these issues. When you can't play that game because it really is about poverty and class. Because, yeah, if there's a white dude wearing, like, you know, a Dago and some sweatpants, he'll get similar treatment. It affects Latinos. It affects everybody. But that's New York for you. That's what I can't really quite figure out. I can see the hypocrisy from many of the leftists when they talk about gun control and wanting more of it, but then complaining about stop and frisk and talking about the rights of individuals and the policing, but then consistently voting for these same people who keep enacting these things. Oh, man. I don't get it. But what's really weird to me is that there are conservatives who come out and defend New York for any reason. There's a reason I left, man. I know, we should read the story. Bill de Blasio and the NYPD commissioner. No protests allowed in New York City. Let me stop you right there, New York City. That's not true. You can't do that. That's the First Amendment. You will make no law establishing, you know, blah, blah, blah. You shall not be infringed, right? New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio and NYPD Commissioner Dermot Shea stated outright this week that people are not permitted to gather for protests in public due to the coronavirus pandemic. The city leaders pointed to the need to maintain social distancing in order to prevent greater spread of COVID-19, stating that this takes precedence over people's rights to exercise their First Amendment rights of free speech and assembly. Wrong. Remember when Donald Trump was debating Hillary Clinton and he would lean over and go, wrong, wrong. That's what I want to do right here. That's what I'm going to say to you, Bill de Blasio. Wrong. NYPD, wrong. No, you can't do this. We have a right to protest. That's why it's called a right. The government has no ability to infringe upon that right. Unfortunately, as we're learning, they do. You know why? Because they're going to come out and arrest you. But man, I'll tell you what. Bill Barr was not sparing any harsh words. The Constitution is not suspended. Boy, are there going to be many, many lawsuits in the days, weeks, months, and years to come. It's going to be a backlog, I'll tell you what. What are they going to do if you go on protest? They're going to arrest you? What about the people in Indiana right now who are protesting due to an unarmed black man? Actually, I don't know if he was unarmed, according to the story. They're chanting, no justice, no peace. Look, some aren't wearing, some one person's wearing a mask, others aren't. They're certainly not social distancing. What about them? What about New York City? Y'all going to go out and protest for Ahmaud Arbery? You're allowed to do so. Do it with my blessing. Go protest. Are they going to do it? It's not against the law to protest. In fact, the First Amendment guarantees it. And just because Bill de Blasio says it doesn't make it a law. I hope YouTube gets that through their thick heads. You're not supposed to advocate for breaking the law. Well, Bill de Blasio has banned his YouTube channel. How about that? He says, you're talking about some of the values we hold in the highest regard in this country and certainly in this city. The right for people to gather, the right to free speech, and the right to protest. I'm sorry, this was Shea, said during a Monday press briefing. But now comes the bad news. We're in a pandemic. And executive orders have been issued. So what? These are laws that have been passed down through executive order. No, they're not. They're not laws. That's how executive order works. To keep people alive. While we greatly, greatly respect the right of people to protest, there should not be protests taking place in the middle of a pandemic by gathering outside and putting people at risk. You want me to go get in my van and drive up to New York? You're getting really close to make me get my van and drive up to New York. You can't tell people they can't protest. You don't pass laws through executive order. Executive orders are not laws. They're executive orders. They're orders to the executive branch. Okay, I get it. New York is a state. Its laws function differently from the federal government. They say the announcement came a day after the Reclaim Pride LGBT advocacy group protested Mount Sinai Hospital's relationship with a Samaritan Purse Christian organization, which set up a field hospital in Central Park for COVID-19 patients in an effort to reduce Mount Sinai's load. The group objected to the hospital working with the religious organization, claiming that its leadership has espoused bigoted views. Now listen, I'll be the first to tell you, you are insane to protest an emergency hospital. You're nuts. And I will be the first to tell you, you are allowed to protest. And I will defend your right to protest. In fact, I will say thank you for protesting. Standing up for what you believe in is a God-given right, and it is protected under the Constitution because we had smart founding fathers who understood why it was so important. So you know what? I would now ask you to direct your ire towards Bill de Blasio, who is threatening your right to protest. While I certainly disagree with your protests, I would like to see you continue voicing your opinion legally and lawfully. And if Bill de Blasio has a problem with that, then I will absolutely defend your right. Now, I'm not quite so close to saying I would actually drive up there and stand next to you to protest, but if I lived in New York, I'd come down and join the protest 100%, and I'd have a sign saying, like, I disagree with this protest, but I agree with their right to protest, something to that effect. We can't function this way, man. The Constitution is Swiss cheese. That's what I said earlier. It's Swiss cheese. If no one will defend the Constitution, then what's the point of having one in the first place? Now, I get it. It does constrain law enforcement in most times. But if in an emergency, the government can just snap its fingers and say, you know what, no more rights, then you don't have rights at all. The Constitution is meaningless. They are permitting you to do these things. How any police officer, NYPD, would actually break their oath. That's what they're oath breakers. So I don't know if the NYPD actually swears an oath to uphold the Constitution, but they aren't, and they haven't. And this goes beyond just what this is. I mean, NYPD has been bad in a lot of ways, even going back to Occupy Wall Street. Never mind my disagreements with the leftist protesters. This is we're past the slippery slope, man. I think one thing we can learn from this is that Americans have not defended their Constitution, and because of this, it's almost meaningless. It really is. Like, I understand it still has value, the Supreme Court, current laws as they're written, their lines. But if the mayor of a city can just come out and say, we have suspended your rights, then you didn't have them to begin with. They're God-given rights. They don't come from the government. But if the government can just snap its finger and take them away, then what's the point of the First Amendment at all? Americans have not and are not defending their Constitution. And that's a fact. I'll leave it there. I'll see you all tomorrow in the next segment at 10 a.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out. I'll see you next time.
Okay, so, again, that is Tim Cast, T-I-M-C-A-S-T, Tim Cast. Find him on YouTube. I was just introduced him to, I had one of my listeners actually emailed me the link to his, that particular clip. And after listening to the clip, I had to go find the article and see what all this was about. Was there any truth behind what the guy was saying? Because, you know, there's a lot of people on YouTube spinning bullshit, you know, so you always have to trust but verify. So I went ahead and I've watched several of his videos. I find no fault in anything he's done up to this point. So I subscribed to him. I think I'm only subscribed to, like, I think he's only the third person on YouTube I've ever subscribed to. That tells you something, okay? But check him out, Tim Cast on YouTube, T-I-M-C-A-S-T. He's doing some really good work. But again, you know, as he pointed out, you know, where was the you can't protest with the whole Reclaim Pride LGBT advocacy group protesting the Mount Sinai Hospital and the Samaritan Purse Christian Organization who set up the emergency field hospitals there? Where was the you can't protest order then? Where was this is so one-sided, it is just pathetic. You know, De Blasio's got to come out with he's got the nerve to say, quote, people who want to make their voices heard, there are plenty of ways to do it without gathering in person. Use all the other tools you have to get your point across, but avoid anything that might put other people in harm's way. You know, yeah, there are a lot of ways to make your voice heard that, you know, and other tools that can be used. The problem is, Mr. Mayor, you assholes are not listening. Okay? If you jackasses, you left-leaning nut jobs, you moronic ass-hat progressives, if you would listen, well, maybe we wouldn't have to go to these levels. And no, your executive orders aren't laws. They're executive orders. And again, for those of you who do not remember, Mayor de Blasio lives in Yorkville. And he literally lives in an area called Carl Schurz Park. It is a park. He lives right inside the park. You don't have to be chauffeured to Brooklyn to walk through a Brooklyn Heights park with your wife. You can walk right out your own front door and right down the street. You live in a park. All right? This is the epitome of violating his own orders. But no, he doesn't have to, you know, he gets away with that. But now he wants to suspend your First Amendment rights. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. de Blasio, not without first declaring martial law. Is that what you're doing, Mr. de Blasio? Are you declaring martial law on the people of New York? I'm sorry, people, and I really hate to say this, and I know I'm going to get some flack. I can already see it coming. But if this crap does not stop, we the people will have no other choice but to revolt. And if that happens, heaven help us. People of this country ever decide that the only option left to end this crap is to revolt, it will make anything that any other country has done up to this point look like a kindergarten cry fest. And if we in the United States are good at anything, it is waging war. Keep pushing, and that is what you will get. I'm not advocating for violence, but I am just about had enough. We don't have enough time to get to the CBS got caught in the act trying to cover it up, but I promise we will get that. If we don't get it on Sunday, we'll try to get it on Sunday, but if not, on the Spreaker broadcast, but if not, we will definitely get it on Monday. But Sunday, for the first 2 hours, from 7 to 9, I will have L.B. Bork, author of The Red Amendment and owner of Pack in Law, will be on with me Sunday. If you're in my email list, you'll get a notice ahead of time telling you about that. If you want to get on the email mailing list so you can get advance notice of all broadcasts and what we'll be discussing during the broadcast, you can email me OneAmericanRenegade, that is the number one, AmericanRenegade, at gmail.com. You'll be put on my mailing list, and then the only email you'll ever get from me will be to let you know what the topics will be of discussion for the upcoming broadcast. And I usually try to send those out at least 2 hours in advance, 2 to 3 hours in advance, so people have plenty of time to notice in advance. Again, Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas of Bulletproof Radio. And L.B. Bork, author of The Red Amendment and owner of Pack and Law, will be my guest on Sunday. But while we still have time left, the Department of Justice, this is, wow. Is there nothing sacred in this country? The Department of Justice, just a couple days ago, 3 days ago, made it known that the first charges of COVID-19 stimulus relief fraud arrests have been made. Two men. The Justice Department, and this was an ABC News article. The Justice Department announced its first series of charges targeting fraud of the COVID-19 stimulus relief package for small businesses on Tuesday after two Rhode Island men, and Rhode Island is such a tiny, itty-bitty little state. It's smaller than Jersey. Rhode Island is smaller than New Jersey. It's a tiny little sliver in comparison to the rest. It's a tiny little sliver compared to New Jersey, for crying out loud. I think Rhode Island is the smallest state in the union. But two Rhode Island men allegedly filed for more than $500,000 in loans to help pay employees that the government says did not exist. Federal prosecutors said David Stavely and David Butziger, I don't even want to know, fraudulently applied for forgivable loans from the Small Business Association established under the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security CARES Act, passed by Congress last month. According to court documents, both claim to have had dozens of employees across several different businesses, but the government said in actuality they had no salaried employees, and in one instance applied for a loan to pay employees at a business they don't even own. In one application cited by prosecutors, Stavely allegedly requested $438,500 so that he could pay out two employees across three restaurants. Two of the restaurants, according to the criminal complaint, were not operational before or after the current crisis, and Stavely had no ownership stake in the third. What the hell? Seriously? This is just ridiculous, people. I'm going to try to knock out some of these smaller articles because we don't have, like I said, we don't have time to get into the oops, CBS got caught in a cover-up, because I have a clip that I want to play for that, and it's almost 12 minutes long, and we just don't have time for it. But we'll get to it. Like I said, if we don't get to it Sunday night, we will get to it Monday. But we've all heard of Tara Reid, the Tara Reid scandal now. Remember Bill Clinton? I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I know that's a poor Bill Clinton. But according to Bill Clinton, you know, it all depends on what the definition of is. And he doesn't believe that oral sex is sex. So, well, I guess by that definition, he was still faithful to Hillary. but, you know, we remember during Kavanaugh, we had Christine Blasey Ford, Professor Christine Blasey Ford. She couldn't remember how she got to the party. She couldn't remember where the party was. She couldn't remember how she got home. She wanted everyone to believe that this guy was so drunk that he could barely walk, yet he managed to somehow find his way all the way up the stairs into the room where she was and sexually accost her. And then instead of running out of the room, down into the living room or whatever, where everybody was, and making a big scene, he tried to rape me. Oh, no, she just, right through the entire crowd, didn't even say anything to her so-called friends that were there, and just walked right out into the, right outside, out across the yard, out to the sidewalk, and who knows where she went from there. Never said a word to anybody. All of her so-called friends that she says, well, I told so-and-so about it. I don't remember none of that. I don't even remember the party. Damn, they must have been really trashed, right? You remember Christine Blasey Ford said she had some real concerns when Kavanaugh was first put up for nomination to the circuit court. But it wasn't until his nomination to the Supreme Court when she decided to go public. And who did she contact? Dianne Feinstein. Didn't go to an attorney. No, went to Dianne Feinstein. Well, Miss Feinstein, well, yesterday she stuck her foot in her mouth. On Thursday, she attacked former Joe Biden staffer Tara Reid, who alleges she was sexually assaulted by Biden in the spring of 1993. Feinstein said the allegations were totally different than those against Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And she wants to know, well, Miss Tara Reid, if this really did happen, where have you been all these years? Well, let me see. Let's try this another way. Well, Miss Christine Blasey Ford, if this really did happen to you back in 1980, whatever the year was, where have you been all these years? Why wait until now to come forward? You see how that works? If you're going to question one, you got to question the other. But here's the real difference. While nobody in the Christine Blasey Ford camp can ever recall Christine Blasey Ford telling them about this so-called sexual accosting that took place. Well, Miss Tara Reid, well, things are a little different here because all her friends say, oh, yeah, I remember when she came home that night and she told me all about it. And it wasn't just one or two people that said, yeah, we remember, I remember her telling me about it. It was many people saying, yeah, I remember her telling me. In fact, I just recently learned today that her husband says he remembers her telling her, telling him about it. So, and here, oh, also, Tara Reid can tell you when it happened, where it happened, how she got there, how she got home. All the little details. Contrary to popular belief, while something like a sexual accosting can be traumatic, it doesn't erase your memory. Okay? So, I'm sorry, Ms. Feinstein, if you're going to grill Kavanaugh over this, let's grill Biden. Because at least Tara Reid, at least her story's credible. She remembers all the details, where it was, when it was, how she got there, how she left. She's got witnesses saying, yeah, I remember her telling me about it. None of this is the case with Christine Blasey Ford. So, and what happened to, we must believe the woman? What happened to the Me Too movement? We must believe the women. Unless it's Joe, let me sniff your hair, Biden. You know, it's kind of like the hypocrisy, the blackface hypocrisy. All of these right-wing conservatives get caught blackface, well, they got to resign. But no, well, we'll let Governor Northam of Virginia, we'll let him get away with it. It's okay that he did the blackface thing, but he's a Democrat. The level of hypocrisy here, people, is just absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I don't understand. I cannot for the life of me comprehend why you, Mr. and Mrs. America, you think you're so freaking smart. You're so aware. You're so woke. But yet you continue to let this bullshit go on. When is enough enough? God. I think I got time to squeeze this one in. May 4th, 2020, the New York Times. She predicted the coronavirus. What does she foresee next? I told Lori Garrett that she might as well change her name to Cassandra because everyone's calling her that anyway. She and I were Zooming. That's a verb now, right? And she pulled out a 2017 book, Warnings, Finding Cassandra's Top Catastrophe. Finding Cassandra's to Stop Catastrophes. It notes that Garrett, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, was prescient not only about the impact of HIV, but also about the emerging and global spread of more contagious pathogens. I'm a double Cassandra, Garrett said. She's also prominently mentioned in a recent Vanity Fair article by David Ewing Duncan about the coronavirus Cassandras. Cassandra, of course, was the Greek prophetess doomed to issue unheeded warnings, what Garrett has been warning most dire about in her 1994 bestseller, The Coming Plague, and in subsequent books and speeches, including TED Talks Is a Pandemic Like the Current One. She saw it coming, so a big part of what I wanted to ask her about was, what does she see coming next? She says, I don't know. Basically is the gist of it. Tiff, she said, we need either a cure or a vaccine. But she can't envision that vaccine anytime in the next year, while COVID-19 will remain a crisis much longer than that. Quote, I've been telling everybody that my event horizon is about 36 months, and that's my best case scenario. I'm quite certain that this is going to go in waves. It won't be a tsunami that comes across America all at once,
kind of like the way it spread,
and then retreats all at once. It will be microwaves that shoot up in Des Moines and then New Orleans and then Houston and so on, and it's going to affect how people think about all kinds of other things. So I asked, is back to normal a phrase that so many people cling to a fantasy? And she replies, this is history right in front of us. Did we go back to normal after 9/11? No, we created a whole new normal. We scrutinized the United States. We turned into an anti-terror state, and it affected everything. We couldn't go into a building without showing ID and walking through a metal detector, and couldn't get on airplanes the same way ever again. And that's what's going to happen with this. Well, see, here's the thing about September 11th. It wasn't a bunch of whack jobs in caves in Afghanistan. It was the Israeli Mossad, members of the CFR, members of the central banking system, members of the Federal Reserve, and yes, boys and girls, members of our very own government. Well, maybe your government, not mine. Because I didn't vote for none of them son of a bitches. There ain't one person right now in Washington anywhere that I voted for. I can honestly say that. And if you want to use September 11th as a example, staged events, Hegelian dialect, problem, reaction, solution. Nero did it. Mao Zedong did it. Stalin did it. You know, all great tyrants throughout history have done it, including Roosevelt with Pearl Harbor, the Spanish Main, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq. Yeah, you get the point. With that, I want to thank everyone for joining me this evening. Again, remember, Sunday night, 7 p.m., L.B. Bork, author of The Red Amendment and owner of Pack In Law, would be my guest Sunday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then hopefully from 9 to 10, we'll get into the rest of the stuff. Till next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they work to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up, speak out, and let your voice be heard. I'm Art Underground for American Renegade. Be safe out there. I'm gonna go get some more.